You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Like thousands of people this weekend in Vancouver and across BC, you may be planning to use public transit to see friends and family, go shopping, or volunteer. You won't need to explain the reason for your journey to the bus driver or SkyTrain staff. Yet this is exactly what users of HandyDart have to do each time they book a ride. Tom McGregor is with the BC Coalition for People with Disabilities, and he joins me on the phone this morning to tell us about HandyDart and how TransLink's Accessible Transit Review presents an opportunity to improve the service of HandyDart and to revamp its structure. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Now, who is HandyDart for, actually?
Well, HandyDart is a custom door-to-door service for people with impairments that would otherwise restrict them from being able to take SkyTrain or city buses without an attendant, unattended by themselves.
So it's not just people in wheelchairs?
Oh, certainly not. There's all manner of disability. And in fact, as a HandyDart passenger, I would say the majority of riders aren't in chairs. They're ambulatory, but still have impairments such as, you know, severe pain issues, arthritis, cognitive impairments, those types of things that wouldn't allow them to take the bus otherwise.
So how does it actually work?
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't work that well. it's currently delivered by seven different service providers throughout the Greater Vancouver region. And so each service provider has its own standards of booking trips and has its own ability to offer trips. And that's one of the real problems that we're seeing with the system is that it's uncoordinated. But on the basics, you have to book at least 3 days in advance for this trip. And you have to explain where you're going. Now, it's not because they're being big brotherish and want to know what you're up to. It's because that the rides are so limited. There's such few rides that they're giving priority to people going to work and to doctor's appointments and kidney dialysis, that type of thing. But that leaves very little HandyDart services available for people with disabilities to go and visit family or to take in a concert or those types of things.
So it operates a little bit on a triage kind of system then?
Oh, yeah. I've never heard that analysis, but that's a good way to put it.
So if it's operated by seven different contractors, is each one of them responsible for a particular kind of a zone?
Yes, and that is one of the problems. So, for example, if you want to book a ride from Vancouver to Surrey, you would have to go through two different providers, and then it would be up to the individual to coordinate those trips with both providers. And it's very unlikely that you're going to get it lined up so that you'll be able to take those cross-boundary trips. They're very difficult to do.
So if I want to go from Richmond to Vancouver and back, I understand that it might be possible for me to make the first leg of the journey, but then not be able to get back.
Well, that's one of the problems that we hear all the time, is that, the service is so limited that sometimes they can only accommodate a trip one way, and then it's up to the person to be able to get a taxi or have someone give them a ride or whatever to get back. So going one way is not really an option.
No, obviously not. Now, you mentioned, we've talked about the seven contractors, we've talked about the different transit zones. How on earth did that all come about?
Well, HandyDart's got a bit of a history. I can't remember exactly the year it started, but it was originally delivered by the Lyons Society called the Lyons Society for Crippled Children. And you can tell how antiquated the idea of just the name alone has changed over the years. But at that time, it was basically just giving rides to people with disabilities, but done in a very paternalistic way, because at that time, of course, the philosophy was that people with disabilities don't go and participate in employment or don't go out and participate in the community. Of course, and thank God, that's changed over the years. And so we need a modern system that will reflect that. And so what happened is that TransLink paid the Lyons Society, or it wasn't TransLink at the time, but it was BC Transit, I guess, paid the Lion Society to deliver this service. It grew, the need for the service grew, and of course different regions, and so they kind of kept that contracting. So it's not really, although it's paid by TransLink, it's funded by TransLink ultimately, it's delivered by different service contractors, unlike, say, the division of TransLink, like the SkyTrain, which runs as a subsidiary.
And then the contractors are coming from a similar kind of a sector that the Lions Society was, their nonprofit groups?
There's varying providers in Vancouver. It's a cooperative. It's a board that consists of people with disabilities. In other regions, providers that people that provide all other kinds of social services as well, like housing and that type of thing.
So what's the alternative then to this very complex and not very wieldy situation?
Well, that's it. We want to see the thing streamlined, and I think that by streamlining it, we'll see a lot of efficiencies. So one of the things is that there needs just to be one booking and one central administrator of the service, and we want that to be TransLink, not a contracted service provider. That'll help, of course, allow people to book rides through the regions. It'll also allow TransLink to coordinate their rides more. We think it'll eventually show cost efficiencies because in some regions, say you have a Handy Dart that's taking somebody downtown, then has to wait maybe for an hour before their next booking to take a person back or to pick somebody else up. Well, that's in the industry known as deadheading. It just means that the bus is basically lying dormant, although it has a driver and it's quite capable. So we think if there's one coordinator, and if that's TransLink, it could just be a lot more efficient that way.
Is TransLink considering it? Because I know they're in a process of coming up with a review of their accessible transit strategic plan. Is that on the cards for them, that they would look at Handy Dart and look at changing the way it's run?
Yeah, they haven't committed to that, but they're certainly, we've been to a couple of workshops now, and that's always been one of the options that TransLink is proposing. And the other thing is TransLink is looking at, an overall accessible strategy. That is to say, the new bus systems and stuff are more low floor, so it will allow more ridership, it will allow more people with disabilities to ride regular transit rather than use custom transit. But there's always going to be a real need for custom transit.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because I've been noticing the low-floor buses come along and wondering to what extent that's going to address the transit needs of people with disabilities.
Yes. Well, I mean, we welcome a fully accessible transit system, of course, but unfortunately, there always is going to be a sector of the population that won't work for them because of their physical disabilities.
Now, you said that you've been to a couple of workshops. Is TransLink actually officially consulting with the coalition that you're part of to get your feedback on redesigning Handy Dart?
Yeah, we're a group called the Coalition of Handy Dart Users, and we certainly have been in various meetings with Handy Dart, especially at the consultations. But they're consulting widely with a lot of people with disabilities, and for that we really want to commend TransLink. We want to thank them for doing the work, but we also don't want to see the expressions and the things that they're finding out at this workshop just wind up dormant on some table and have the system stay status quo. That's for sure.
Is there support from the drivers of the Handy Dart buses to become more centralized?
Yes, there is, and one of the reasons is job stability. I mean, with the contracts the way that they are right now, every contractor is up every 3 years, so that may or may not be the provider 3 years from now. So imagine as an employee how you feel about your job that may be up in 3 years and the contract taken away and then you're out of a job. So we want to see this as a more stable, long-term option for people that go into that line of work. And as well, I think it's very important because people with disabilities do have very special and unique needs, and these drivers are excellent at understanding and being able to communicate, as well as appropriately strapping people in. I mean, you're very vulnerable when you're disabled. So it takes someone with real skill, and so we want to see drivers have a long-term ability to build on those skills and become dedicated to them.
If somebody listening to us now has an opinion about handied art and wants to express it and wants to try and move things along in a certain way, what could they do?
Well, I would certainly suggest looking at TransLink's website. You'll see in the TransLink website you can always get board minutes from the TransLink boards, and you can see what's being said. Also, the BC Coalition of People with Disabilities has a website, and if you, I'll give you the address there. It's www.bccpd.bc.ca. And then if you click on Current Campaigns and Issues, you'll see the Coalition of Handy Dart Users, and we have position papers there, as well as we'll be providing updates to people when there is going to be community consultations or the need to get people with disabilities out to a TransLink board meeting to show support for this.
And we have a link from our website to your website, to the page about Handy Dart, so we'll be pointing people towards that too.
Great.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me this morning, Tom.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Tom McGregor. He's with the BC Coalition for People with Disabilities. And as I said, you can find a link to information about the Handy Dart proposal on our website, and it's cooperadio.org/redeye.